And sometimes we find ourselves in this world and the influence of this world. And can I just say this? How important it is that in the middle of the week that we come together for prayer meeting. Listen, so many Christians have given up the prayer meeting. Let's not be a part of that number. So many Christians say, well, you know what? I'm too busy. I got this going on and that going on. And if you're busy, you're too busy. If you're too busy to pray, then you need to pray. And so how important that the prayer meeting is. No wonder our assemblies are in the condition we're in when we give up prayer. Now, why do we give up prayer? Why do we give up the prayer meeting? Oh, you say, well, the brother just talks to the bench anyway. He's muffled and I can't hear what he's saying because he's like this. And he's talking into the bench. Easy solution. Hey, brother, could you raise up your voice so that I can understand what you're saying? The bench can't hear you. It doesn't have ears. But I'd love to hear you. Because I want to be able to say amen to your prayer. Not a problem. You see, the thing is, sometimes I wonder, honestly, I have to say this, sometimes I wonder, perhaps the reason we don't come to the prayer meeting is maybe we don't believe in prayer. Or maybe we've lost confidence in our God. And maybe we don't believe that God answers prayer. Maybe. I mean, what other conclusion can we come to? Because if we really believed in prayer, and if we really believed that prayer changes things and people, then wouldn't we come to the prayer meeting? It's a challenge for us. But I tell you this, the prayer meeting is the thermometer of the assembly. You want to turn things up in your assembly? Get on your knees collectively and start praying. Start lifting up those holy hands to the Lord. Sometimes things don't change without prayer and fasting, Scripture says. And sometimes we need to deny ourselves and get on our face before the Lord. And so how important it is. But no man is an island. And we have these scriptures in Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4. We have that illustration in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 that reminds us of this. No man is an island. We need one another. No man stands alone. There's not one Christian that has been a successful Christian all by his lonesome. So we need one another. And Scripture teaches us the truth of the one body. It teaches us the fact that we strengthen one another and we build one another up. And we could spend time reading these verses, but we know these verses. What we need to do is apply these verses. We don't need more knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. We need to practice what we know. Mark Twain once said, that great theologian, Mark Twain, he once said, it's not what I know, it's not what I don't know about the Bible that bothers me. It's what I know about the Bible that bothers me. You see, it's not what we don't know, it's living out what we do know. It's not even me getting a hold of the Bible, it's the Bible getting a hold of me. We don't need more truth. We have all the truth we need. We need to live out the truth. And so, no man is an island. We need to turn this idea of me, as this illustration, we need to turn this idea of me into we. We. Not me. We go to the next slide. The giant, and I just want to underline this as we close. The giants and the giant killers. You can go ahead and put them all up there. When we think about Goliath, the name Goliath means undercovers or stripped. To uncover or strip. You know, that's what the enemy wants to do. Goliath, the devil, what he wants to do is strip us of anything for the glory of God. What he wants to do is he wants to uncover and expose our sin. The devil doesn't care anything about us. When he's done using us, he'll leave us. The devil doesn't care. But there's one that defeated the devil, and that's the beloved. That's David, the beloved, and reminds us again of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the second giant that we have before us, his name means, as we've already said, his dwelling is empty. There's no satisfaction there. Who was he defeated by? He was defeated by Abishai. And what does Abishai's name mean? A gift from God. And I need you to see the correlation. If we go back to the book of James, right? We see in James where he talks about the enticement of sin. But what does he say? He says that the Father is the giver of all gifts. And that the Father, there's no variation or shadow of turning. But he's the giver of all gifts. That every good gift comes down from the Father above. In whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. And so what he's saying to us is that he has given the best gift. And he continues to bless us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's given us everything that we need. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, or 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3 or 4 says that he's given us everything we need to refers to divine life. To live this divine life. He's given us everything we need. So he's given us every gift. And it's being in the good of that gift, the gifts of God. It's being in the good of that defeats this world.